Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I haven't been on the show. I've been on mute. I done pulled a Daryl Mass. I put myself on mute, and I'm just now on the show. Well, how's everybody doing tonight out there? If you're listening to the show, Jim Berg had some throat issues. Didn't really feel like doing the show. And the Lulu Show has kind of took over tonight. So if you're listening, call in at 347-202-0263. That's 347-202-0263. Come in the chat room. Get involved in the conversation out here in Barbecue Radio Land. If you want to find out more about the Lulu Soul Smoking Radio Show, which is usually on Wednesday nights, the number one barbecue show right now on the planet, you can check it out at www.lulusbarbecue.com. Somebody called me a dumbass. Yeah, I am a dumbass. I forgot I had it on mute a while ago. You can find more at www.lulusbarbecue.com. It is up in the chat room, and you can listen to all the archive shows and even the live show on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can get on there on the website, and it'll take you straight to where you need to go. Well, how are you doing tonight, Hank Vaden?
And I'm doing really good. I was kind of waiting for you to spill out with that long-winded spill you got going there.
I forgot the damn mute button was on, son. I've been sitting here talking for the past, 8 minutes. I done pulled a Daryl Mast over. He did that one night, and I called him. I said, you ain't on the air. I can hear music. I can hear all kinds of stuff, but I can't hear you. And he was on mute for about 30 minutes. So I was looking, and I was like, man, what the heck? Yeah, we played the intro to Elvis Presley, which January 8, 1935, the king was born. His birthday is tomorrow, so if you're around, you can celebrate the king like I did with a little bit of Elvis music. We played a little Jailhouse Rock. I like Jailhouse Rock. What's your favorite Elvis song, son?
Promised Land.
Promised Land? I was going to play Promised Land, but I couldn't get that one up on the network quick enough. I was kind of a late break situation coming to this about 30 minutes ago, so just kind of figured it out. How's everybody doing in the chat room tonight? So we got a couple of people in the chat room. If you're chatted up, let's get some things going tonight. What's going on down in your neck of the woods, son?
We're just getting ready to watch the old BCS National Championship game.
Oh, the BCS National Championship game. Who are we rooting for?
As hard as I hate to say it, it's going to have to be Bama.
Oh, Bama, huh? Oh, man. Well, let's see what happens. That game starts at 7 o'clock, I do believe, so the airways probably dead. We might even shut the radio off at 7. You never know what happened.
What's going
down there in the cooking world? What's going on down at the restaurant?
Just smoking right along at the restaurant. We're getting ready to go to beautiful Hot Springs, Arkansas, 24th, 25th.
Yeah, big contest down there, Southern Crunk Barbecue Festivus. See where Randy and Andy's putting that on, which you can listen to Andy on the Lulu Soul Smoking Show on Wednesday night. He's on there. And you might even get shigged by Randy. What's up, bub?
If Randy wins, can I say it's fixed?
Yeah, I guess we'll say it's rigged, because the other night we was talking about something. He used the word rigged, got me in a whole heap of trouble.
Yeah, I know that.
I got all kinds of calls, all kinds of emails, and then he come back and fixed it. But, you know. But, yeah, I don't know. Well, let's go down and see if we can put some whoopings on Randy. You never know what happened.
We'll have a good time anyway.
Which you plan on going down there? Which this is going to be your first competition
IBCA
cook in a
comp.
While, ain't it?
Yep. It'll be
the first IBCA comp.
Yep, first IBCA comp. And, we talked before. Like I said, we didn't get to cook that much last year. But we're going to cook a lot more this year, kind of shake the circuit up a little.
Well, what do you think about the IBCA? What you learned from it, just kind of reading the rules and kind of, I know we had a show on a couple weeks ago.
Talking to people, it's basically like KCBS with the exception of, from what I was told, and just it's unorganized judging.
Right.
And, basically the rules are pretty much similar. The chicken's a little different. You got to do chicken halves, but, hell, cooking's cooking. It'll be what it is.
Well, let me throw us out there. If you're part of the IBCA and you're listening to the show tonight, call in to the show, 347-202-0263. We got a couple questions I want to ask you. And if you're an IBCA member, you're going to know those answers because we don't know them. And I had some people ask me a few questions and want to kind of get the lowdown on those and see if that's wrong or right. And if you will, just call into the show tonight. But, yeah, I think Randy and Andy over with the Southern Crump Barbecue Festival, I think it's going to be a real good cook. You know, I think they'll have a very good turnout over there.
Yeah, I was looking at some of his posts he'd put on Facebook and looking like anywhere 30, 40 teams. So that's not bad in January when it's going to be cold as all get out. That should be a good turnout. Should be a good cook, too.
That's what I was thinking. I think it's going to be a pretty good cook over there, and you know it's going to be fun. There's no telling what they're going to have going over in the midst of
it all. Oh, Lord, there's no telling what's going to happen.
He said he was going to have a farting contest after he had a bean contest or something. I don't know what he was talking about.
Imagine that. Before it's over with, he'll be able to trademark that, too, along with his barbecue boner thing.
Yeah, you can check out Randy Hill's new website, barbecueboner.com. It is a legit website. You can get on there and look at it. It's part of the Southern Crump Barbecue Festivus and the Southern Crump Barbecue Tour. And they've been working on a pilot for a show. I'll let him talk about that later on. But they've been working on a pilot for a show. And it'll be a real good show if he can get the pilot lit on it and get somebody interested in it. But, you know, it sounds like a pretty good time. Which, you know, we might show up out there. I don't know yet. You know, kind of depends on how things go around here and if I get time to come over.
You're a busy man, though.
I am kind of busy.
You are. You know,
I hate to come over and put the whoop ass on you.
Oh, no. You didn't get the challenge, did you?
I'm throwing it out there.
When you pull into a cook and you got to get you some on the back of a trailer, you're pretty much looking for that kind of shit.
Yeah, you're looking for that kind of shit. You never know. I might just show up over and just cook with you or hang out. You never know.
Just come hang out with us. You cook the damn chicken. How about that?
I cook the chicken. You want me to cook the chicken? I cook chicken. I cook a chicken half. I just can't cook KCBS chicken for some reason.
Well, guess what? Your lucky day, IBCA does chicken halves.
I know. That's great, ain't it?
So,
I don't know. I guess I put too much flavor in a box. They just don't like it, so.
I don't know. Yes, judges.
You gonna give me some seasoning to use, or need to bring up a concoction?
You know, actually, I'll let you use some, and I need to apologize to you. I need to send you some. I was gonna do that before Christmas, and things just kind of got a little crazy, and I haven't sent shit to you yet, so I apologize.
I understand. I didn't get you your Mr. Rogers sweater either down to you before Christmas.
You know,
I couldn't find one.
I went ahead and I've got me some of the blue tennis shoes. So all I need now is a sweater. We've got through with our anger management classes. I graduated. So, like some
Adam Sandler crap right there.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm nicer, much more cordial, and heavily medicated.
Heavily medicated. Hey, you wouldn't believe it, but it's hard to find a Mr. Rogers sweater somewhere, or cardigan, as some people call it. I looked everywhere, and I could not find one anywhere. I went to Goodwill's. I went to regular stores, Macy's, you know, all that stuff. I still couldn't find one anywhere. I don't guess they wear them anymore.
Get me one of those sleeveless kind, you know, like they
you
wear.
The sleeveless one?
Yeah, you know, those pretty with the plaid on it. I think I'd look really nice in that. See, I'm in touch with my inner self now with this after these anger management classes. I'll even be nice at Memphis in May this year.
Oh, you're going to be nice at Memphis in May this year?
I'm going to be nice.
Before we get, we're going to that area here in a minute, but if you listen to the show, I'm talking to Hank Vaden, which he has a spot on my www.lulusbarbecue.com. Just look for what kind of sauce you got, Hank. Just go ahead and say
number one championship barbecue sauce.
That's right. Just look for the bottles. Click on it. It'll take you straight to the new website that is up, the new website.
Finally.
Since he had little problems with the other guys, since his web guys, he ended up going to anger management because, you know, I guess you beat them up or something. They wouldn't put your website up.
Okay, we can leave all that alone now.
We can talk barbecue. Which I know Memphis and May, you already got a big invite from them this year.
Yes.
Have you cooked, when's the last contest you cooked in Memphis and May?
The last Memphis and May I cooked was the Vienna Big Pig Jig. Didn't cook it last year, the year before, so that'd be 2009, 2010.
That'd be right about 2 years. Yeah, but yeah, it's roughly about 2.5 years, something like that.
Anyway, we didn't cook it last year, but we cooked the year before, whatever the hell that was. We double finals, and my good friend Jack Soul South beat us.
Uh oh, Myron Mixon, huh?
Yeah.
Is there any blood there between you and Myron?
Myron and I are real good friends. You know, anytime you go up and cook, you want to cook against the best. And anytime you roll out against him, you're going to be cooking against a damn good product. He turns it out every time consistently.
Right. And, I mean, y'all kind of grew up together in the barbecue world. I mean, and I'm not saying that from a childhood aspect, because if you're listening, it's not really what I'm saying, is that, you know, the barbecue world's kind of took on the NASCAR aspect here lately. And, you know, back in the day, you know, there really wasn't as many teams as what there was now. I mean, what was the difference back in the day compared to now, you know?
Well, it's kind of like you said, barbecuing has gotten so popular over the last, I will say, 10 years. you know. And but when we was coming up, I think mine started in 97. I started in 98, 99, somewhere in that range. You know, we didn't have cook schools to go to, and there's so many avenues now these young teams can go to get a heads up on going out. We was on that Learn While You Earn program, and some of the other pitmasters like Pat Burke and, you know, when he was Mike Mills and some of those guys, Larry Terman, just, you know, different cooks. You know, they would teach you things or you'd ask questions, but now there's so many avenues now. Hell, you know, a young team would be crazy not to go to a cook school.
Yeah, there's
but
a lot of cook
Learn
schools.
While You Earn program.
Learn while you are. I understand that one. That's pretty much what we did. You know, didn't really have anybody to give us any.
Flavor profiles have changed.
What kind of different flavor profiles is there now? I mean, when I say that, is it more, you know, and I got this big problem with sauce. It seems like, you know, sauce gets pretty much liberated on everything now.
My thing with contest is now it's, you know, you've got to be on your game. You've got injected, and you've got sauces. You've got glazes and all that other shit, you know, and that's great. But back then, when we were starting out, it was more about the product of the meat, per se, complementing the pork. And now when you go to a conference, you got to try to outdo the other guy's injection. I mean, you're still trying to outdo the product, but it's so much emphasis now on injections and damn sauces and glazes that you're kind of getting away from the, you know, the products a little bit. I mean, the overall product's going to be the great thing. To me, it's about the pork, and I've had some barbecue that's so damn sweet, it's like candy, and hell, I don't like candy that much, not when I want to eat a barbecue sandwich.
No, I understand your point on that. You know, I like a little bit of a savory place, but just a little bit of a heat. I like the sweet. I'm a sweet man, but I don't like it just overwhelming sweet. I like it with, you know, a gradual heat with a little sweet, just kind of in between,
you know,
there.
Like I said, you don't want to overpower the pork. You want to complement it, but I've had some, you know, that I've tasted. Just, you know, tasting other guys' stuff when we get through cooking. And it's just completely overpowered the pork that you're going to eat. You're tasting more glaze and injections and sauces. So to me, that kind of got away from it. But, you know, to each his own, and you got to go with the flow with things. You know, bottom line is you don't cook what you like so much no more. You got to cook what wins.
Yeah, it's definitely a fact that has come to play. You have to cook what wins. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of, we talked about on another show was, you know, it isolates down into what everybody else is doing now than really what your own persona is, really what you have made, what you have done, what you're known for, and it kind of goes back into a pot to where everybody's trying to cook the same avenue of food to try to get that number one spot.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And you know, and I can understand it, and I do the same thing. You know, with the expense cost now of not only just meat cost and your ingredients, and then you've got travel expenses and all that, hell, when you figure all that in, you've got to try to win, you know, every time you go out. And if you, you know, if whatever's winning, you got to try to do whatever's winning.
Yeah, it's definitely expensive. Let me ask you a question. You were talking about the new guys, the new people coming in, and y'all was in the Learn and Earn program. Do you find it better that the new guys that are approaching the sport of barbecue, and I call it a sport because it is a sport, it actually is a sport, is it better for them to kind of mingle around in their kitchens and make their own products or go ahead and buy the products or learn from that stage and then go about and then buy your products? So if you want to buy something, you know, we buy stuff to taste it, and, you know, we get seasoning and sauces that come in that people want us to do, you know, sauce and rub reviews. We do those every week. You know, I had some great ones this week. But, you know, I'm still true to what I made in that kitchen when I didn't know anything. You know, it went back to that one product. You find it valuable that they should make a product and, you know, want to stay with it or, you know, just go ahead and buy something and, you know, just try to win something with it.
You know, from a monetary standpoint, you know, with the ingredients cost and that kind of stuff and the trial and error of trying to come up with that flavor you want, there's so many different ones out there now. If I was doing it all over again, I would probably just buy someone else's rub for the expense fact of it, because, you know, you don't really realize how much stuff costs till you start playing in the kitchen. And you start buying ingredients to make rubs with all the different dry seasons and stuff like that, and you can spend some money quick when you can go out and buy two or three different rubs and see which one you seem to like the best for whatever your flavor profile is. But that's what I'd do if I was starting out now. I would go with buying somebody else's probably, although, you know, we started out and we've got our own, and I stay with it. And we haven't changed it none, but that's what I would do is I'd probably just buy somebody else's.
You know, we're the same way. When we started out, we made our sauce, we made our rub, and, you know, we have stick true to what we have made and what we do. But, you know, I've tasted a lot of people's seasons and a lot of people's sauces. It's really kind of what you prefer. I guess you kind of say that because there's so many different flavors out there, especially in the barbecue sauces. There's not really a whole lot in rubs in the market.
No,
you know, there is. But, I mean, there's just not a whole lot. I mean, there is some out there. If you seek them out through competition teams, are starting to really come out with the rubs. But the sauces have really been the mainstream of barbecue here lately. I mean, in the past, where you can go in a grocery store, you can go, I have a place that's about 10 minutes from me, and they carry all kinds of barbecue sauces. It's like hot sauces that, you know, you go in a place and they got 50, 75 different hot sauces. This place got like 50, 60, 75 different barbecue sauces in it. And, you know, I buy them. Every time I go in there, I buy at least one because I just want to see what they taste like and what they are. But, you know, it's just kind of one of those mainframe things. You kind of figure out what you got. And then, you know, if you got a sauce, you got a season, you got to find out which one works together. And if you're going to spritz it, you got to find out what kind of spritz is going to go with all those and, you know, how you're going to make it. And, you know,
I mean,
that's a big difference
right
there.
You got to have a balanced flavor profile to make everything work.
That's exactly right because, you know, when I first started out, cooking, my shit was horrible. I mean, it was horrible. You know, I won't lie to nobody. You know, we've been cooking for the past 3 years. 3 years, going on 3 years. And, you know, when I first started out learning, it was awful, you know. I had some, you know, all I ever heard was apple cider vinegar and, you know, this and that. We didn't come from a barbecue community. You know, our parents didn't cook. Nobody cooked. Nobody knew anything about it around here. Wasn't that popular.
But what in the hell made you get into barbecue?
Do we really want to go into that?
That's the same answer a lot of people will give you.
I'll tell you what. I'll go ahead and say it. I'll tell you what made me get into barbecue. Depression. Depression made me get into barbecue. And that's really what it was. I was pretty much in a depressed state, you know. I was going through a divorce, just lost my mom. I mean, I couldn't sleep at night, and I had a job that I was working, you know, 15 hours a day, running around in different states, and I just didn't feel like I had anything.
Right.
And I was just, you know, I was in a store one day, and I bought some seasonings and started messing with them at home, and, you know, it took me about 7 months to get my barbecue seasoning around, but, you know, before I started making seasoning, you know, I was like, well, I'm going to cook something, you know. I had a old Brinkman green water smoker that my dad gave me like 2 years prior to all this, and I never used it. Didn't even know how to use it. You know what's funny is the pot's in the bottom where you're supposed to put the water, I put the charcoal in it.
See,
barbecue
is good for everything.
It is. It really is. You know, I cooked those, and I had some. I got some ribs, and this is how I learned how to trim ribs. Is that, you know, I went to the butcher and I said, "Hey, I want some ribs." And you know, the thing that kind of connected was my mom loved barbecue. When they went to Memphis, they liked to eat at Corky's, and she liked to eat ribs in different places and different things like that. And that's where I found the connection at. And I was
right.
Like, well, you know, I want some ribs. So, you know, I went down to the butcher, got some ribs, and I come home, unwrapped it out of the butcher paper, and I was like, what the hell is this? I didn't know what it was. I always got baby back ribs at the restaurant. You know,
right.
I know what they look like. I pulled it out. I had two big spare ribs laying there. I was like, well, that's not what ribs look like. You know? I was like, what is this crap? So I started cutting them down. So, you know, I cut them down to make them look like a baby back rib. Later on, I found out that was a St. Louis style. But, you know, I always, you know, trim my ribs up, make them look real nice. And, you know, I had that Brinkman smoker. And, you know, one night, I let them soak in apple cider vinegar. And I forgot what else I had in that pouch. I have no idea. Let them sit overnight. I cooked those dudes. Man, those were the nastiest things I ever ate in my life. I mean, they was awful. I mean, all kinds of stuff. But, you know, that's what kind of got me into barbecue, the whole ram. And, you know, kind of digging in. Then I made my own seasoning and made my own sauce. And, you know, then my brother kind of, he got into it. And then he bought a smoker. And then it just kind of, you know, kind of start overlapping. It's kind of like them guys that go hunting, you know. They buy the gun. and that's all they got is the gun. And then, you know, they got to get some camouflage, so they buy the camouflage pants, and they get the shirt, and they get that. And they're like, well, hell, I got to have these bullets. And then they get in the duck hunting, and then they're like, well, I got to have this gun. You know, it just kind of keeps overlapping how to make it better and better and better, and that's kind of, you know, the situation we was in.
And then it becomes
to get
an
that
addiction.
And then it becomes an addiction. That's exactly right. Then it becomes an addiction. And then if you can make money out of it, that's the question. You know,
you know, the big celebrity now and got the radio show, big bar.
I don't know about that.
So we've kind of spun this around. It's almost like I'm interviewing you.
I know it. That's kind of cool. I ain't never really been interviewed, really, I don't guess. But, yeah, I mean, you know, that's like people always say, well, you know, we did a segment on mobile vending, which is what we do. I know you own the restaurant down there. And people, everybody wants to make a dollar in barbecue. There's
and
one thing that people don't.
It's an easy dollar to make.
That's right. And a lot of people think it's the easy dollar to make, and people don't understand it. It's the hardest dollar you'll ever make in your life.
Because there's a damn barbecue joint, I think, on every corner. And one popping up, if they're not on a corner, they're pulling around a damn trailer. No,
shut up now.
The mobile vending. Well, there's
just
mobile vending and just popping up on the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, that's the thing. I mean, people, there's a lot of money to be involved, you know, a lot of money. You know, you got the trailer, you got your cookers, you got your meat, you got your seasoning. I mean, I can remember when we started out, you know, my brother was cooking, you know, kind of full-time because he didn't have a job. And, you know, you take that $200 and try to turn that money into something else, and you kind of go, man, I got to buy meat, I got to buy this, I got to buy buns, you know, and make it work because that's what you had to work with. Because, you know, when we started – we went to the banks, try to get a loan, try to get, you know, if anybody else listened to the show tonight, you know, you don't have to have a bank or you don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to, if you got a desire to make something work and you got the heart to want to do it, you can make it happen. That's kind of like us. We just kind of fell into it after, I guess you say we was getting our bare essentials in place for what we needed. And, you know, when we first started out, we didn't have a bank. They didn't give us no money. We didn't start with anything.
Banks
and now, you know.
They don't
like
restaurants.
That's right. No, they don't. And, you know, they come eat now, and they're, you know, they smile and talk and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, I need your money. You know what I mean? So, you know, it makes you earn it more because, you know, you had to sweat. You had to make everything happen. You know, it's just – it's an everyday thing, and, you know, we're two guys, and my brother, he's got a full-time job now, and this is all I do now, and, you know, it's tough. It really is. It's tough. I mean, our garage looks like a small barbecue store. That's what it looks like, you know. We have everything we need right there.
The cool thing about barbecue, and I don't care who it is, any team, whatever, first-time cooks, whatever, they get into it. And I promise you, everybody that's doing it puts everything they got into it. You got to love it. And no team that I've ever met, you know, the first thing, and, you know, I don't lie. I do it for the money, and I like to win and all that. But you got to still love it. And if you don't love it, barbecuing is not something you get into.
You're exactly right. And if you want to start a business or start anything else, I don't advise you to go to competitions first off. Now, if you want to do it as a hobby and go to competitions, that's a good thing because competitions cost a lot of money, don't they, Hank?
Yeah, well, I remember my first time out in Cotton Patch. We cooked in Iuka, Mississippi as an MBN cook. And I'd cooked with other teams before. And, man, we got our shit handed to us. I'm like, what the hell? And I was talking to a friend. Well, actually, I was talking to Myron. And I said, what the hell did I do wrong? And he said, you know, he gave me a lot of pointers. And he said, come watch what we do. And I had never presented. I was always one of the night guys, you know, and did the cooking like that on the other teams. And I went and watched one of his presentations, and I was like, I see now. This son of a bitch ain't all one on Friday night. It's one on Saturday morning, too.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
So
you know, we got to do.
There's a lot more that goes into it than just the cooking. I mean, you've got presentation, whether it be KCBS, MBN, IBCA. Presentation is a very big part of it. Because if you can't win on that blind table, you won't win at the end of the day.
which we did our first NBN contest this past year. I think it was this past year. We went to NBN contest, and, you know, that's all we heard, you know, from a lot of people. Well, you know, it's about who you are, it's this, it's that, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I just want to go find out for myself, kind of like the IBCA contest, you know. Some people make good points, some people make bad points. I want to go see for myself and see what's about, and I'll be the judge of it. And that's kind of like the NBN thing. We went down there, you know, we was the newbies, and I have to say, I really enjoyed the NBN contest. You know,
even better than the
KCBS contest, because I'm the type of person, I like to talk, I like to interact. And, you know, when we was there on the stage on Saturday morning, that's what our show was about. That's what we do every day. You know, it didn't make a difference to us, you know. And, you know, even the guy, the instructor that was running it, he said, it's one of the best presentations I've seen in a very long time. And he said, especially for a team that's never been down here to an NBA contest, and he was one of the top rep judges. And,
right.
You know, that's one of the things you got to look at. So, you know, we didn't win the contest by any means. I mean, I think we finished, I don't really remember what we finished on the ribs, but, you know, it was a win in our book. You know, that's why we judge it. We don't always win all the contests, but if we go down there, we have a good time, and we turn in good food that we know that can win, then we're happy. You know, if we go down and turn some crappy food and we go, man, we just lost today because we didn't cook, you know, that's what you have to deal with. You're not going to win every contest. But if
no.
you can go to contests and you can come away and say, hey, we're going home winners today, then, you know, you achieve something because you learned something. And every contest I've been to, I've learned something from different people.
Well, any time you go out, you're going to learn. And when you get to the point where you quit learning, you better go ahead and hang it up because you'll get your shit handed to you. But we cut our teeth on MBN or MIN in those days when we started was Memphis MA, which MBN is very similar. But that's where we started. And I'm like you, I enjoyed the on-site presentation. I enjoyed the blind judging as well, but I enjoyed the on-site with the interaction of the judges. That way, you know, they're not just looking at a box. You're getting a combined score, and that guy, you got to explain to that guy, you know how you brought it from the raw state to the cook state, the mechanics of your cooker, and you know, you get to explain to him that you know what you're doing. And you get that, you know, that interaction, and I enjoy that. Now, I'm not knocking KCBS. I enjoy cooking it. Looking forward to doing this IBCA. But, you know, it gets to a point sometimes to where, you know, some of those judges, and I'm not slamming on judges, but some of them can make you or break you with a pencil, and they don't do what they're supposed to do as a judge, and they sort of, you know, get that insignia, well, I know what this is supposed to be like, and this is not what it's like, so mine's better than this. But, you know, to each his own, and you can't win them all. But I personally enjoy the NBN over all of them.
Yeah, I was the same way when I went down there. I really didn't know what to expect with the NBN contest, but when I walked away,
now,
we really enjoyed it.
By some of these KCBS folks, but you know,
you know, I mean, KCBS is one organization. You know, they are the big dogs right now, but they're, you know, there's other organizations popping up like the IBCA. You know, everybody's always looking for new things. And, you know, that's like the garnish, you know, the garnish with the KCBS. A lot of people don't like it. Some people do like it. But, you know, even this is my thing with them is that, you know, we went to a contest this year and the head rep said, you have to use garnish. And I said, whoa. Nowhere in the rules does it state that you have to use garnish. And he's like, yes, you do. And I was like, no, you don't have to use garnish.
Right.
And he was like, well, maybe I need to look at this. And I was like, you don't have to use garnish. And, you know, that's the thing because, you know, if you use garnish, then you use it. But if you don't use it, then I feel like you're going to get penalized for it. But there has been people winning without using the garnish. And,
well,
you know, I don't feel like.
We've kind of done the same thing. And I mean, I've kind of gotten away from the garnish because I hate trimming that damn parsley. But
mm-hmm.
we've done just as well without garnishing as we have with garnishing. So I've kind of got away from the garnishing, which to me, and I know what you're talking about. I've heard some judges say after a contest, talked about things and, you know, just talking amongst each other that, well, it didn't look as good as so-and-so. Well, we're not judging, you know, whether the box looks as good as so-and-so. We're looking, I mean, did the box look good? Well, it looked good, but, you know, it should have been garnished. It's not about garnish. We're not at a garnish.
That's right. Because the rule state, you know, when they open that box up, they're not supposed to judge whatever kind of garnish you got or whether or not it's in the box. The only thing they're supposed to judge on is the appearance of the meat. And, you know, I like filling the meat box up. I like filling it full.
Right.
You know, that's what, you know, and the whole thing, I don't even like the parsley. I mean, we have used it, but I don't even like it. Because if you watch any of these videos that's on YouTube or barbecue or, you know, there's pictures on Barbecue Critic or, you know, different things. And if you ever watch the inside videos where they have them, when they pick up that piece of meat out of that box, what do you got? You got this piece of meat that has this green crap all over it, and they can't take it off. So they have to eat that with your meat. So that's one thing. If you're using the parsley, you got to remember that. You know, once they pick it up and they put it on their plate, if you ever look at those judges' score plates when they're, you know, doing all this, they'll be covered in that stuff, and they have to eat it. So, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I don't know. I don't think everybody's on the set headlines of that. But, you know, we know some KCBS reps. They're a very good friend of ours, and, you know, we like them a lot. And they, you know, they tell us a lot of things. And they critique our food, and they critique different things. But, you know, I don't think everybody's on the same page of what everybody else is. I think there's, you know, probably 75% of them that have the rules down and everything else of what they're supposed to do. And then there's another 25% that goes, well, I'm going to eat this, and I'm comparing it to one I just ate. It's not about the one you just ate. It's about the one you're eating right now. And it's not about what you ate during your judging class. Yeah, your last four contests, or even when you go to the judging meeting.
And you know,
where
sadly
where
enough,
you get classified.
A lot of judges will go back to that thing, what you just said. Well, this is what it tasted like in judging class, so this is what it's supposed to taste like. And I disagree with that, too. And I'm not knocking all judges by no means. But,
you're right. We're not. You know, we're not knocking the judges, but, you know, we're just stating some facts. So,
you know, the one thing I've heard at a lot of cooks' meetings that always stood out to me is I've heard them at a cooks' meeting say, we're judging the best we're cooking today, not what we had last week or not this or that. We're doing today. And that's one thing that I think a lot of these folks have gotten away from, that they're forgetting that we're judging that product that day.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've ate some competitors' food and, you know, seen their scores. I'm like, man, how did you place in the bottoms when, you know, when I just ate your food and it was well-cooked? And I think there's a fine medium between tender and undercooked and bite-through.
I really do.
That's
when you start getting into personal preference. And, you know, I'll tell you, I don't think there's a team out there that's cooking on the circuit. You know, I'm not going to say there's not a. But most teams out there that cook on the circuit competitively on a regular basis, and well, we'll not even say regular basis, hell, that cooks us along, but they're all good cooks. And the competition level now has gotten so intense. I mean, you can take a team like, you know, it all goes back to what we were talking about earlier with there's so many avenues now you can learn when you roll out. You know all these things where we was on the Learn While You Earn program. I mean, the competition level is outrageous. But I think the judges need to get away from. We'll just get off the judges. We love judges. We love barbecue judges.
Yeah, we love barbecue judges. We done been in enough trouble with all of them. But
yeah,
you know, I understand your point. And there's a lot of people out there that's got those questions that feel the same exact way. But you know,
I've got my score sheet, and I knew my shit was on that day, and got my score sheet, and I got my feelings hurt. Now I'm not gonna lie, I got pissed off. But what do? You lick your wounds. You go on to the next one. But, you know, I know when my product's there and when my product's not there, but I ain't never had a product that was a five. But I've got
to know. I understand that. You know, and you know, I completely understand that. And that's, you know, when we went to a contest last year and we actually interacted with probably 90% of the judges that was there because we was right by the door. Everybody walked by, we talked to. And you can, let me rephrase this, you can talk to the judges on the day, but you cannot talk to them about products or anything else because when they left, we talked to them. We wanted to know what was going on. So, but they can't tell you about the products. They can't tell you this. They, you know, there's a lot of guidelines that they cannot, and, you know, you should know the questions not to ask them. But if you ask them the right questions, they will talk to you. And, you know, 99%.
About slipping them a 20 or 100. That's out of
yeah. 99% of them that we talked to was first-time judges and second-time judges. And when we got our scores back, we knew that because the boxes we turned in were perfect. I'm talking perfect, you know, because I made sure that they looked perfect, the meat, everything. And we got we got ripped like sevens and sixes. And, you know,
and,
I'm
and
like.
That's the one thing about KCBS. Sometimes you'll get some feedback. Sometimes you won't. You know, if you're going to mm-hmm. give me a six, at least
you need to give me feedback.
Why you're giving
yep.
me a six.
Yeah, that is exactly right.
Judges have give you slick nines, and you get that one judge that gives you straight sixes, and no reason why.
I never understood that, and that's always been our downfall, you know, in any competition that, you know, we've not done that well at.
And you know,
is
like,
that you always
in the end, they will come back and talk to you, or your own sites will. Now you're
that's
blind.
Exactly point. That's exactly point right there. Because after we got done, I actually met a couple of them. One of them was from Two Sauce of Pork, and then. Another judge, I had a lady judge, and then I had the top rep, one of the top reps for MBN, come back, and they talked to us, and he said, you know, this is what I thought, this is what I, you know, believe, this is, you know, this and that. You know, it gave us all kinds of pointers and all kinds of different things, and, you know, told us what we did right, told us what we need to improve on, and, you know, that was something that was great. And, you know, I don't get that in case of it. If I
get better with.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because, you know, not even going in, knowing what I was going into with the NBA and what we did, you know, I was very happy. But knowing the next time going around, I know what to look for and know exactly what to do. And, you know, that's the thing that makes a big difference. And I've only got one comment card ever from KCBS. One comment card ever.
You know, I'm not trying to bash KCBS,
but I understand your point. I understand what you're saying about the sixes. If you give a six or a low score, I want to know what it was. I want to know why I got that score. And, you know, I think the feedback is very valuable in the barbecue world so everybody can get better. And, you know, that was the first contest I ever did, the first KCBS contest, like in 2010, when I didn't know how to cook. You know, they said the chicken was dry. Okay, I understand that. That's great. But I have never received a comment card since then. And, you know, and sometimes I'd question, well, why didn't we get a comment card back? Because I want to know what is different so I can improve. And I think it's a lot of people's things in the KCBS world, they don't know where to improve on. And, you know, that's a downfall because if you're cooking and you're spending $1,000 every time, it makes you gun-shy to want to come back and do it because you're going, well, I cooked some great food today or, you know, I cooked what I thought they wanted. Maybe I didn't cook what they wanted, but I didn't get the scores I needed. And, you know, I didn't get no comment card to say, hey, I need to change this or, you know, or my meat wasn't tender enough. You know, that's like when I get a comment card or I get a bad score on tenderness. Did I overcook it? In your eyes, was it overly too tender or was it under tender? You know, because I don't know. If you gave me a 7 on tenderness, I don't know if it's overly tender or under tender in your eyes. You know, that's the things that people want to know right there.
Hey, you know, and I agree wholeheartedly. And like I said, I'm not bashing KCBS by no
means.
But, you know, I've been to comps before, and I've got straight nines from every judge, but that one, there's going to be that one judge.
The one, you get a 5.
And I understand you're dealing with personal preference, but I'm like, what the hell did you see that these others didn't, you know? And
yeah.
That's where I would like the comment card. But, you know, you get the hand that you're dealt, and you, like I said, you go to the next cook and you go on. But, you know, that day you're probably, well, if you're me, you're going to have to go back to anger management classes and have a little tutorial.
Oh, I left some, I've left some very irate and disheartened, I guess you can say. That's not usually the way I am, but, you know, when you turn a good product and you know it's a good product and you get the scores that we got
in there
a couple.
With that magic pencil sticks it in.
Yeah, you get mad. I mean, you know if you didn't cook good that day, you know it was, you beat yourself, you know.
And I don't think
but the day,
anybody that competes will say, oh, well, I had a great time. I got my shit handed to me. Well, I'm not that way, you know.
I'm not that way either.
I mean, if I've had a good time, I've had a good time, but don't stick it in me at a damn judge's table because you think you're a better cook than the guy's food that you ate or don't taste like what yours should have tasted like. But anyway, we won't get on that because we'll be getting all kind of damn phone calls about bad.
If y'all listening tonight, call in at 347-202-0263, 347-202-0263, and you can talk with us.
We
got a couple of callers
on line.
That's right. We got love for the judges. I like the judges. I have no problem with it. All the ones I've ever met have always been super nice. I just wanted some comment cards to kind of know what, you know, what to do on the next step, maybe go on the next competition.
You know, that helps everybody, every team out there, that'll help them out.
Well, let me ask you this. Since you're going to the Southern Crump Barbecue Festival, and I might be cooking the chicken over there,
yeah.
What do you think they're looking for in the IBCA? What kind of flavor profile you think it's going? Because I think the – I think the IBCA contest, the Southern Cremant Barbecue Festival in Hot Springs, is the farthest north IBCA contest, I think. I might not be 100%, but I'm pretty sure it is. So you think that's going to – I mean, and the thing is, they pull the judges from the streets. So they pull, like, the mayor in. They pull, you know, different spectators that are there, and that's the judges – that are judging that food. How do you think that makes a big difference in that contest?
Well, I think you're going to have more emphasis on quality of product. It's going to be whether they think it's good or not, not so much as what it's supposed to be like. As far as flavor profiles, I'm not going to change my flavor profile. We're going to cook what we've always cooked and hope for the best on that. We feel like we do a good product, and we've been fortunate with it. So I'm not going to go changing no flavor profile just to be cooking IBCA. Maybe a whole learning experience. By the end of the day, I'll be like, maybe I needed to change my damn flavor profile. So, you know, we're just going to try to. This is going to be a shot in the dark for us. It's our first one, but, you know, who knows? We may do well. We may get our shit handed to us, but we're going to try it. We'll have a good time, and it'll be a learning experience.
Well, what kind of flavor profiles are you going to put down over? You won't give out any of those,
you know,
ideas.
We kind of go with the. We're not overpowerfully sweet. We're going to complement the pork. We're going to give it a really good flavor, but you're going to still know you're eating pork and you're not drinking lemonade or peach juice or pineapple juice. I mean, but we want
apple
you to know you're eating pork. Or, yeah, you know, we're going to complement the pork. You know, it's no rocket science. Honey's a big thing. We like a little of the sweet. We like a little of the pineapple, you know, but, you know, we're going to still have pork. You're going to know it's pork. There's not going to be no damn, ooh, that's candy.
So which I do believe, I don't think IBCA, I don't believe the pork butt is a standard contest with IBCA, but it is an add-on if you want to add it in IBCA, and I do believe that Andy and Randy have got the pork butt, and I do believe they're doing brisket, which is standard, chicken half, which is standard, and then the pork spare ribs, which are standard over there.
Well, Randy did promise me he would give me some pointers when I got there, a little 30-minute class, and maybe we'll do it.
Oh, yeah, we might do all right then. I'll come over and cook with you, cook some chicken. Now, if I take last and chicken now, I don't know what to do.
But, you know, we've kind of been in a slump with the chicken on the KCBS side. We got doing pretty good there. It was in the top three, top five, pretty consistent. And then all of a sudden we went down south with that shit. So I don't know what the hell happened, but we're going to do the same thing we've always. No, you're going to cook the chicken.
I'm going to cook the chicken.
Yeah.
I'm going to cook him candy.
I'm going to cook. Worse than I've been doing.
I'm going to cook him candy birds.
we'll cook candy birds for everything then.
Which I got a lot of people that like the chicken that we do just on a regular basis. So,
I've
you
also
know, it's just
put
a
some chicken gizzards in the damn box and turn it in. Who don't love a chicken gizzard?
I like chicken gizzards.
I'm all
give me some sauce. So I got to have some sauce on that, though. I'll add some dipping sauce for it.
Yeah, kind of.
Unless
like
they're really salty. I like them really salty.
We was at a comp somewhere, and I won't say where, but it was one I said I never would go back to, and I had a little fun with it. We did anything but, and I sent in a can of sardines, a little thing of crackers, and some hot sauce. Needless to say, I didn't win, but it was a lot of fun. It was a big conversation piece.
Well, Randy said they're using hookers to judge. So does that bring a different flavor profile in?
I'd probably go with something kind of salty, maybe.
Something a little salty for them. Okay.
Yeah.
I understand that one. That might be a good idea.
Hey,
how's it going out there, Randy Hill? I see you in the chat room. I see Moody Q. Why don't y'all just call in, join the show, Moody Q and Randy Hill. Join us, little Hank Vaden.
Yeah, Randy could give us some pointers.
Yeah, Randy, call in. Talk about the Southern Cup Barbecue Festivals. That's what we're talking about right now. We want some pointers on the IBCA. So call into the show.
Now, Randy's probably
okay, which Randy told me, he said the pork butt was added to the contest, so it would be a qualifier for the Jack. So it is an invitation to the Jack if you win.
Well, that's what we need. We definitely need to get that invitation.
That'd be great, because you already got one invitation already this year, hadn't you?
Yeah, but, you know, the more the merrier.
Which, you think there'll be some eyes open when you get there? You want to tell anybody where you're going?
Yeah, you know, there may be some folks talk ugly when I get there, but or call me some bad names, but, you know, I don't have the greatest reputation of being the nice guy. But I'm new and improved after anger management.
That's right, new and improved.
I'll have my Mr. Rogers sweater on, and I'll be Happy Hank.
I'll bring that. But you're going to bring me a Cotton Patch Cooking Crew shirt. I guess I'll have to bring you a Mr. Rogers sweater.
We'll even have some soft music playing.
That's right, soft music. We'll be the low-key people.
Exactly. We won't be the party bunch. We'll be the low-key, happy people.
That's right. I'm going
to
be there.
I've never cooked IBCA. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the season starting. This will be the first cook January. We've never started cooking in January. We start later February. But we're going to do some more IBCAs. We're going to do some more KCBSs. And we're going to get back on the MBN road with them a little bit.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you cook on, Hank? I think I got an idea, but let's let everybody else out there.
I used two different cookers. And nothing with either one, but I've leaned more toward the JOS cookers. And we're coming out with our own cookers, and mid-March we'll go to Cotton Patch Cookers, Cooking Crew Cookers.
Uh-oh.
But same concept, they're indirect water cookers. We've done a few things a little different to ours. But right now we're cooking on JOS.
JOS.
And
well, hold on one.
Backwoods as well.
Go ahead. You got Backwoods also.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good information. Does JOS have a website?
Yes, as a matter of fact, you could probably go to it at jacksoldsouth.com.
I knew some of them didn't catch on right there.
But
so if y'all was listening, that was Jack's Old South Cookers, which I have to say, when I met Myron at the Jack Daniels this year, I talked to him and talked about his cookers and looked at them, and I have to say, they are very well made.
They are well made cookers. And they're easy to use. You know, the whole thing, you don't want to fight a cooker. And I've had like I said, I've used just about every kind you can imagine, with the exception of a damn green egg. But the JOSs, and Backwoods as well, they're both great cookers. So they do a great job. And a lot of people don't like water cookers. That, you know, that's all preferential. But I personally like water cookers.
Yeah, I like the water cooker. It does make a big difference, and you do have to kind of critique your cooking to deal with the water cooker. It does make a big difference in what you're doing, because I've screwed some stuff up with the water cooker that I didn't know was going to do it.
You can't cook hot and fast, and we do. We call it power cooking, or however you want to call it, but we cook high temps, short periods of time. But then we can do low and slow as well, but I prefer KCBS power cooking. Now, you can screw up if you don't know what you're doing, but, you know, it all goes back to the tool you're using and what you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I took a JOS. First comp we went to, we'd never had cooked on it before, and took it, and we did well with it and had no problems. But, you know, I've always cooked on water cookers. Well, not always, but majority of my cooking has been done on water cookers.
Now, you cook your whole hog on the Jacko South, the JOS?
No, we use our line of cookers on that.
You use your line of cookers?
Yeah. Like I said, we're getting them ready to do mass production, but we've got ours, and we've got them made, and we've got them on trailers. But when we do MBNs, I use my own cookers. But now that, you know, with the KCBS and IBCA, we don't have to have as many cookers to cook your products. With, you know, MBN, you got whole hog, shoulders, wheat. If I'm going to cook, I'm going to cook all three.
Right.
But I can cook everything for IBCA, KCBS, all on one JOS.
Which, that's what you're known for anyways, cooking the whole hog, isn't that correct?
Yeah,
that's your specialty.
I hate cooking them goddamn ribs. I hate cooking ribs.
Well, that's my specialty. That's why I like cooking ribs. That's the only thing I really like cooking. I've never cooked a whole hog. I might have to learn some few things from you to cook one of them whole hogs, but I've never really messed with a whole hog.
There's a fine window in cooking ribs. You can ruin a rib, and you can go 10 minutes one way and it'll be like shit, and go 10 minutes the other way. I mean, the window for perfection on a rib is so fine.
And, you know, that's a good point, because, you know, I kind of changed up my cooking way with my ribs. I used to cook, you know, slow at 220 degrees, like 6 hours, and I've been cooking them about right at 300 degrees for about 4 hours, which I have a big cooker. If anybody's listening, it's not like direct heat, like right underneath it. You know, it's about you know, 3 foot from the rib. But, you know, cooking at 300 degrees indirect, nothing but just the heat and smoke, man, it's the most moist, juiciest rib that, you know, you could possibly turn out. And I see why everybody's kind of power cooking now. It really does make a huge difference.
Well, the reason we got into it, I was lazy as hell. I don't like staying up all night. But, you know, honestly, you can do it. You know, a lot of things I've seen, and this is in the last 2 or 3 years on the KCBS side, don't start building their fires till 6 o'clock in the morning. And, you know.
Yeah, I have seen that. I have seen that here lately.
You power cook a brisket in 6 hours, 5 hours, you're rolling.
That's definitely right.
At the same time, that says a lot about the techniques and the styles and the quality of cooks now, you know. I mean.
Yeah. Now, our pork butt, it goes on at 8. It gets wrapped at 6, comes off at 8. And I won't change that way because it turns out the best pork meat that I ever had my whole life. And it's not because I cooked it, but it's just because I ate it. But, you know, I can't fire cook a butt. It just does not taste the same to me as what, you know, we turn out the lower and a little bit slower, which is still about 240 degrees, but it's a longer time. But, you know, the ribs, really, I can tell the difference in the ribs and the chicken.
And there it all goes back to, you know, personal preference.
Correct. Let me hold on 1 second.
I really wish Randy would call.
Oppa Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. 낮에는 따사로운 인간적인 여자, 커피 한 잔에 여유를 아는 품격 있는 여자, 밤이 오면 심장이 뜨거워지는 여자.
Randy Hills in the house. How you doing?
Yeah,
tonight?
Y'all talking some smack, Jack.
That's right. We're throwing it down over here in Lulu's town.
Hey, man, I'm just glad to hear Hank rolling our way for our cop, man. We're going to have a good time.
Randy,
yo,
you're going to have to cut me out now.
He's going to let me cook chicken.
I'm going to hook a brother up, man. Now, you may not win the damn thing, but you're going to have more fun than you've ever had your clothes on.
Oh, smack talk, smack talk.
You know, I just got home late from work. Everybody's got the Virenia in Hot Springs, so it took me a while to get home. But,
you know, we talked about this earlier, about that, and my elixir is really working.
Yeah, you need some
I ain't
of that,
got none
you know,
of that.
Homemade cough syrup against what you need, man. But,
yeah.
You know, we're looking forward to having you guys down here. And you talking IBCA, you know, one of the things that's really interesting to hear the KCBS guys being a little nervous about cooking IBCA because a lot of times it's the other way around, you know, when I first started doing this. And we're going to have a lot of people that are cooking IBCA the first time they're KCBS guys. I just got an entry from a guy in Kansas that's coming down, and we're here to help all you guys, you know, because – you know, we don't whip your ass fair and square. We don't want to do it just because you didn't know what to do, if you know what I mean.
What the hell? Smack talk. He's talking about smack talk.
I hear you.
He just got out of anger management. What the hell are you doing? Trying to make you mad?
Oh, anger management. That's why God made Valium.
Yeah.
Fix that right on up. You know, it's interesting to hear you guys talking because Andy and I are scouting out the year, you know, and, you know, Andy cooks on a backwoods. I cook on a Yoder stick burner. And what I found on that, you know, I've cooked high, hot, low, and slow. I've done every damn thing you can do. And it's weird because you'll
cycle. That's
what
she said.
Yeah, you got to pay extra for that.
Unless you get a prostate exam.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm not KY by the case. We'll talk later. But anyway, you know, one of the things you'll cycle, you know, I did good on chicken when I first started, and I couldn't cook chicken for nothing. And fortunately, we've done a few things, changed a few things up on our chicken. We're cycling back up and doing a little bit better on it. Now, Hank, what you're going to be cooking down here is going to be a half a chicken, and you don't cut that sucker up, man. Like you do like I did on the show.
Don't worry, I'm bringing it out.
You bring that knife, brother. You're gonna need it. But anyway, what you do is you cook a half of a chicken, and it's a little harder to do that. And the judges have plastic knives and plastic forks, so you got to overcook. You KCBS guys, y'all need to overcook your ribs. You know, we've all done it where they kind of fall off the bone. Y'all like, oh crap, that's gonna suck.
So we're
well, gonna do you a little bit
restaurant barbecue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, is that how do y'all usually do that, Hank? I mean, do y'all what style do y'all do for your restaurant?
Well, you know, restaurant barbecue, traditionally, most people are like you're talking about. They want the ribs just to fall smooth off the bone. They want the pork to be as pushy as can be. You know, and they think that's the grandest thing. And if you serve comp barbecue with that texture, most of them would say, well, it's a little tough. Because we've actually let some try. When I'd be practicing with the trailer or something and actually let them try some of the comp, well, the flavor's great, but it's just a little tough.
Yeah, they don't seem to like it as much for some reason. I don't know why.
Which most of my customers don't have teeth.
None of mine do either.
Mississippi, you coming to Arkansas. We'll be all right, Bob. But, you know, that said, it's really interesting. We're going to have a really eclectic judging group. We've got guys that are KCBS certified that are going to be judging for us. We've got people here that are kind of foodies that are really into food, and they're going to be judging. And, you know, and we'll have some other folks too. But that's why I like IBCA, because it's a little bit more like what the world's like out there. It's not somebody that's been trained to cook a certain style.
Right.
And the other thing that's going to be a little different about IBCA is if you do suck it up, you won't necessarily know, because they only announce the top 10 for each category.
Well, good.
I wish they would change. Yeah, I mean, it's good, and so much if you do really bad, you don't get whatever. But, you know, it's also nice to know how you cook sometimes. But, you know, we're willing to help anybody that's the first time IBCA cooks down here. We're going to have a lot of Hot Springs teams, and there's going to be a lot of teams cooking for the first time. And, you know, it's always one of them assholes that beats everybody that's been cooking forever.
That's sounding good already. Sounded better.
It's always the first time cooks to come in there and whip everybody else's butt, and then they're addicted. That's why, you know, like with crack, the first one's free. You know, they're all hooked on barbecue after that. But, you know, we're going to make sure everybody has a good – yeah, that's right, bro. We're going to do a few things different. Now, one of the things that the grand champion for this event is going to get an original piece of old artwork that I got an artist commissioned to do. Because, you know, I try to think of things a little different. We all got trophies in our trophy cases. So I'm trying to do something that's a little bit different. We'll post the painting once she gets it done. We are sticking true to the story of Festivus for this. And if you read up on what Festivus is, you have something called a Festivus pole, and our trophies will be very phallic in appearance. I want to warn you.
Let me ask you this. Is that painting of a stripper?
I'm trying to do that. You know, it's nudity. You know, in art, you know, nudity is considered just nudity. That's the difference between nudity and porn. You know, nudity and porn. You know, if it's on a canvas, it's art. Yeah, if it's on canvas, it's art, brother. And we have a city of the art, so bring it. And by the way, guys, the horse races will be going on down here. If y'all want to stay an extra day, check out the track.
Oh, Lord.
You know, and that's... Hell yeah. It's encouraged. But anyway, the whole idea behind Andy and I came up with this contest because about January, we get in foul moods, you know, because we ain't been able to cook. You know, we don't own restaurants or whatever. And so we were trying to come up with, well, what I mean by that is we don't get to cook every day. You know, you're living the dream there, Hank, baby.
Yeah, right.
Is that right? I'll trade you jobs tomorrow, man. I know what you mean. When you do it for a living, it changes the whole dynamic of it. But we wanted to have a comp in January, you know, and there are a few down in Texas. KCBS has maybe three or four in January total, and they're a long way off. So we thought we'd do something in January to give people something to do, you know. And one of the things about this cook, you know, we want everybody to have fun, you know, and have a good time. And, you know, just as long as I don't finish dead ass last, I'll be happy. So, Hank, have you ever cooked IBCA, Hank?
No, this is going to be my first one. So it's going to be fun. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a learning experience for sure.
We always like virgins, man.
Like
a virgin.
Oh, man. You need to do it.
Yeah. And if y'all check the chat room here tonight, we got Tim Sills on the line. And I think Tim's going to kind of swing down from Missouri and cook with us. And a few other folks that we're trying to get down here to cook, you know, that have never done IBCA. And I think we're going to pretty much guarantee a good time, maybe not a lot of money, but a lot of good time.
That's all that matters, money and time.
Strippers.
I'm
not kidding.
From what I've read, it's kind of really taking off, isn't it?
It is. You know, again, when I started cooking, around here, Arkansas, we'd have a few IBCA events and a few KCVS. We're still kind of intermingled area. But the IBCA events never were bigger. You know, they usually had more people show up for KCVS. But I think as people cook and they learn to appreciate the different styles, I'm going to try to cook a Memphis Barbecue Network event. And I've never done that. I heard y'all talking about it, you know. But I think to be a really good barbecue cook, you've got to be good at more than just KCVS.
Exactly.
You got to be good.
I agree with that. To really show that you're a true cook, you need to branch and to be able to cook different networks.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, I really appreciate it. I don't want to come across as slamming KCBS, you know, because I don't feel that way.
Much.
Yeah, I don't want to slam. I like what they do. I just don't think that they're the end-all, wherewithal of, you know, cooking. And by the way, Candy Weaver, who's the president of KCBS, is going to be cooking at our event, and Candy's super. And she cooks a lot of IBCA events, and she likes IBCA events.
Well, you know, in saying that, our first, you know, like I said, I cut my teeth with Memphis Barbecue. And when we went to our first KCBS cook, and I won't say where it was, but it was in Arkansas, there was a guy from Illinois in front of us, and we were, you know, in line waiting to go in, you know, and get our spot. He looks and he says, "Oh, so you're a Memphis MA team." I said, "Yeah, I can't tell." He said, "By the way, your trailer looks." And I'm like,
"You
tell
him to kiss
thing?
Your ass?"
Huh?
I tell him to kiss my ass.
Well, I shortly told him that thereafter and a few other things. But, you know, that stereotype and bullshit is a crock of shit. Cooking's cooking. I don't give a damn what network you do it in.
Hank, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, I think one of the things that we've noticed, it is kind of interesting. You bring up an interesting point because a lot of those Memphis barbecue networks, you see those really big rigs.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? Those double-decker things. I think that's awesome. I mean, I love to go into cops and looking at other people's rigs. You know, it's just like, you know, look at different vehicles.
Exactly.
And I can appreciate the different rigs, you know. But, again, I think the IBCA, I can tell you from an organizer standpoint, it's a little easier competition to put on because you don't have to jump through quite so many hoops to do it. The cost structure on it is not as onerous to put on, all that kind of thing. But that said, I'm really glad we got KCBS too.
I love all the networks. But,
you know, my only criticism of them is the one that I voiced many times over, and you know, I'm sounding like a broken record or an old man. It's just, you know, it's just that taste. And these, you don't reward originality quite as much, in my opinion, as you can do in these other events.
Point well made.
It's really hard to get people to really appreciate a half a chicken in a turn-in box.
Well, I don't think people realize how hard that is. You know, it was interesting. I watched that damn Pitmasters the other week where they did that chicken. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, come on, man. Who could I got that draw?
Pitmasters. And you, a half a chicken was on Pitmasters?
Did you watch it last week?
No.
Are you talking about Mark West?
I didn't say
Mark West show.
I didn't say a word.
Yeah. That's the Mark West. You know, I don't think you should have won. That's my point. I know.
But you know, the good thing about that is you're talking about barbecue, and you got people talking about barbecue.
And if it pisses you off,
that's fine. I mean, it's bringing out some kind of passion. It's hitting the nerve, you know. But that's the whole idea, is to get people talking about barbecue. You know, it's going to be interesting. I just got a thing from Danielle Demoski. You know, she filmed a show called Barbecue Crawl. That's going to be pretty interesting, where she goes to barbecue restaurants and films the restaurant aspect, and then she also goes to comps and films the comp aspects.
Right.
So they're totally different birds. I was saying the other, my hats are off to you restaurant guys, because people vote with their mouth every day to go to your place to eat. You serve them one bad meal and you're screwed, you know, and that's tough to do. That's really tough to do, in my opinion.
I mean, that's exactly right. You know, your reputation is on every cook every day. And, you know, that's you're doing a competition every day, I guess is what you say. Because
that's just what was on our menu. Every customer that comes in that restaurant to me is a barbecue judge.
That's exactly right. And you have to be that way. And that's really gone away in America today, in barbecue restaurants. You know, it really has. That aspect of is it's more about making the dollar than actually supplying your customers with nothing but the best food that they can have. And, you know, we went to a world champion's place in Kansas City. I'm not going to say his name, but we went to a place in Kansas City, world renowned, world champion, won the Jack, you know, several different things, the American Royal. And when you pull your food out of an icebox and heat up in a microwave and you put it in front of me and you ask me what I think, let me tell you, we told him what we thought. I can tell you that one. Because
there
I don't
go,
come to pay.
Control.
I know it. I can't help it. But, you know. I didn't say who it was,
you know,
but.
You know, that's like it ain't no damn McRib sandwich, you know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah.
You can't just put barbecue sauce on and call it barbecue, you know. And one of the things Marcus said when we interviewed him that was really telling, I thought, is he could tell the difference between a happy cook and an angry cook and who puts love in what they're doing, who cares about what they're doing, you know. I thought that was fairly interesting, you know. I mean, Hank, what do you think about that?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like I said, it's not no damn McRib sandwich. And what I put out every day, my wife, anybody will tell you, if I don't think it's good, I'm not going to serve it.
And that's the way it should be right there. You know, that's exactly the way it should be. You know, and people are coming into these places. You know, there's a lot of places in Memphis where people have recommended me to go. And I went and I ate that food, and it's not up to par for what they said it was. Probably one of the best places that I've ate in Memphis is the crap. It just slipped my mind.
Well, some of the best places you know what you look for in Memphis when you cook, when you go eat a barbecue joint in Memphis. What you don't go all the places they tell you to. You drive until you see a cinder block thing that says BBQ on the side.
Exactly.
It looks like you're afraid you'll get. You look like you might get mugged if you go in there, and that's where you're gonna find the best damn barbecue in Memphis, in my opinion.
Yeah, the commissary in Memphis has great barbecue, and
yeah.
I understand your point because you know when I travel around to my job, that's what I always do when I get in a barbecue. I'd always look for the slum holes, and I'm not saying that against anybody because that's the places I wanted to eat. That's where I wanted to eat was the places that wasn't trademarked on the map and, you know, and it looked like you're going to get mugged when you go in, you know. I want to come back out and, you know, that's me.
Yeah,
that's the places I'm looking for.
Hey, Hank, I got a question for you, Bubba. How much would it cost you, you know, you cook both competition and you cook, you know, restaurant style. How hard would it be to, or how much more expense would be added if you did comp style barbecue in a restaurant?
Oh my God! You're looking at probably at least 25-30% markup.
Because you know, I'm bringing this up. Leanne Whippin has a restaurant in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and she's getting like $40 for a rack of ribs.
That's right.
Or something like that. You know, and honestly, I think it's worth it. You
yeah,
know, if I'm a consumer, right?
But you know, a lot of people don't realize what goes into cooking comp barbecue.
You're right.
Now,
you're absolutely right.
The thing we was discussing, and I think you got in on that too, is when you called, you know, most of my customers, and I'll say 99% of them, want the ribs just mushy. If you was to serve what we cook at a comp in tenderness, you'd just bomb because they want them ribs to fall off that bone.
Right.
And then, you know, they want the pork, you know, they want it as mushy. The tenderer, the better. That's what they want.
Well, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Hank, but, you know, I've been told about judging for KCBS when they eat pork or pulled pork is when they chew it, it doesn't need to stick to the roof of your mouth too much.
Right.
Have you heard that? You know, if it sticks too much to your mouth, it's too mushy,
well, when
so
I started,
to speak.
I used to transition from cooking MBN now, going into from Memphis-style barbecue into doing KCBS, you know, that was one of the things they said, well, make sure your stuff's a little tougher for the KCBS because they don't like it as mushy and so forth. And, you know, in one sense, I sort of saw that, or that's what we tried to do at first, and we sucked at doing that. And I said, shit, I'm going back to cooking them the way we always cooked them, which we cook St. Louis ribs for KCBS, but we cooked them just like we would for Memphis-style barbecue, and we've done well with them. So, I don't know if they really like it tougher or if they like it mushier, you know, but... We went back
you know,
to with MBN and we was okay with it.
You know, the hardest thing I had to figure out, Hank, with cooking was I had to go away from cooking what I personally like to eat and modify it to what the judges like to eat.
Exactly.
And that's what's tough, man.
Personally, yep. I prefer it really spicy, and, you know, I want to know I'm eating something with some heat to it. But if you turn that in, you'll get your ass handed to you because not everybody likes that.
Well, I'll give you a little tip for the Hot Springs Comp. I mean, one of our more popular barbecue places here is McClard's Barbecue, and that's some spicy stuff. That's hot. You know, we got a few other places, but McClard's is the one that's been here the longest. Stubby's is good. It's a little bit more sweet. But, you know, so the people here aren't as afraid of the heat as much as you see when you cook KCBS, in my opinion.
So is that a good valuable point right there for anybody coming into the Southern Barbecue Festival?
Well,
what's going on around?
Yeah, we can have that little Shiggin' with Randy episode where you can shig off of me.
Shig it up, son. I'm shigging off Randy. But, you know, that is a great point, you know, because the judges are people that's brought in from the community, correct?
Correct, and they're going to be used to the kind of the style barbecue we have here. And the good thing about Hot Springs, it's weird. We are right in the convergence of the Texas and the Memphis thing kind of meet right here in the middle, and the Kansas City thing. You know, we have, if you go to any barbecue restaurant in Hot Springs, there are like five or six of them. They all have totally different styles. It's really odd, you know, which is cool. I mean, I love that. We got a place that's a Texas-style restaurant called Roland's. We have a place called Stubby's that's kind of it's weird. It's kind of got a little of the vinegar base that you see out of the Carolinas, but the sweet that you see out of Kansas City. And then McClard's is just a sauce unto itself. I mean, there's a story behind it. That's where President Clinton used to go eat all the time and all that kind of good thing. And I'm good friends with the guy that owns it. He's a great guy, Scott McClard. And then we have a few places that are more comp-style places, you know, smoking in style, that kind of thing. This place called Chuck's. I mean, we got tons of barbecue places in Hot Springs. And so all these judges have had these different styles. And, again, I'm trying to intermingle them. We got some KCBS guys that are, you know, they're master judges and they travel and do all that kind of stuff. And then I got some foodies. You know, I just kind of want to mix it up. But I wanted everybody that's judging to appreciate the food. That was my bottom line.
Well, so is there going to be any Randy, is there going to be any of the – local barbecue restaurants cooking there?
You know, there's not. Traditionally, there's one restaurant that used to enter, and that's why I admire guys like you and Hank, because you guys appreciate the difference between a restaurant and a competition-type cook. You know, when a restaurant cooks in the comp, they don't do well, man. Their reputation's on the line.
Oh, no.
You know, and like my good buddy Scott McClard said, he said, you know, would you like to go to a doctoring contest? I'm like, hell no.
You know, yeah, I guess that's where I show my stupidity. We have two here and where my restaurant is. And it's like you say, if you go out there and you do well, you know, everybody's going to, well, somebody's got a barbecue joint, he cooks every day. Well, if you do bad, you get that, well, I knew he couldn't cook no way kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's like a lose-lose proposition for you guys to some degree, you know. But, again, you know, this one's going to be a little different. And now we have heard word that we're getting the smoke lawn thing done, which will be KCBS on the infield at Oaklawn Park here in Hot Springs. So we do have a KCBS event forthcoming, and we're actually bantering about trying to see if we can have like either a Memphis Barbecue Network event contest here that I'm talking to some folks about, or doing like the Lone Star Network. You know, I just really want to see different sanctioning bodies so everybody can really appreciate the differences and the nuances between all of them.
Yeah, Randy, you bring up a valuable point, because I like the way you think, because you think the same way I think. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't think that way. You know, it's like even Hank saying, you know, you should be in all the networks and, you know, cook them and this and that. And there's some people out there, all they cook is NBN or all they cook is KCBS or LBCA. You know, and I like the way you think about it, because you're trying to bring involvement into all the networks and different things to try to get all the cooks in. And, you know, that's a huge thing, which we talked about the other night, about, you know, the World Championship of Barbecue, somebody holding a belt, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to go too far into that, really, but, you know, I understand the point you're making. I think there's a lot of people out there that want to see what you're talking about happen that, you know, that can't happen in a lot of places.
Well, it's hard to figure out how to do it. Yeah, I'm curious about one thing, too. You know, Hank, you cooked whole hog and comp before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one thing everybody – that's kind of one of the things everybody puts on the bucket list that you got to be able to cook to say that you've ever been an accomplished, you know, barbecue cook. Do you think that's a little overrated, or I mean, what do you think about the whole hog thing?
Well, you know, yeah, in my opinion, I think it's overrated, and I'll do this from this perspective. I hate cooking damn ribs. Ribs are so finicky, you can screw them up so quick. The thing with the whole hog, I do like it. It's a challenge because you've got all the cuts of meat there, but at the same time, you've got more margin for error too. You can find a tender piece of meat, maybe a little, you know, further in your ham or per se or your shoulder, whatever. You know, you've got a little more margin for error than you would with something like that. But, you know, the whole hog is tricky and all that good shit, but, I mean, it's not rocket science. You're doing the same thing with a shoulder. But to me, the challenging to me is a rib. I'd rather cook
yeah.
the day of the week, but a damn rib I hate.
Well, I've always heard the whole hog, the hard part about it is to keep that loin from drying out, you know, when you cook a whole hog.
You know, and that may be true, but we cook ours, we cook them belly up instead of down in the crawl position. And, you know, you got to...
So run, is that running style? I got you. So
but,
is that running style? Is that what they call that?
Pardon me?
They call that running style, you know, or with their belly down is running style, right?
They call it crawl. Running style, crawl,
okay,
crawl whatever you want to call it.
I got you. But you cook yours opposite.
I cook mine opposite. We cook it belly up.
I got you. I got you. Fat side down, brother. Just talk to Ernest.
That's
man.
Right. Fat side down.
You know, as far as that's concerned, too, the other aspect, and I'm just telling you, it's funny how different things intimidate different people. You know, aside from the whole hog, is this whole aspect of you got to kind of wine and dine the judges. You know, you got to bullshit them a little bit. I mean, how much is there to that?
You know, that's one of the big misconceptions. I don't ever, you know, it's a floor show when we're doing our presentation, and I'm just the entertainment for it. The product's got to be good, period. You know,
right.
Anything I can do to enhance it with my, you know, presentation of it, I'm going to do, of course. But if the product's not good, I mean, you can call shit all you want, or you can call a pig's ear shit, but, I mean, you know, it's got to be a good product to start with. And that's one of the things is MBN or MIM, well, it's MBN now. It's got such a
big
style, you know, and I disagree with that. I mean, it is a little more expensive, and you got the, you know, the wow factor of the rig and all that, but the product still got to be good. So
oh,
I
yeah.
I don't think the you know, the talking is going to win you the contest.
Well, let me ask you this on the whole hog. Do you serve them the pork cheeks?
Yeah, I'll give them jowl meat if they want.
Pork cheeks? Jowl meat.
Pork cheeks, jowl meat, or whatever, you know.
Jowl meat.
So when they come by, I mean, I don't guys have never done this. I'm shigging off you. This is my shigging off of Hank's up. And, you know, what do they typically want you to serve them off that whole hog when they swing
by? You've got to serve the three main portions of the hog. You got to serve the shoulder, the loin, and the ham. Those are the things you've got. Now, in your turn-in box, you can't put bacon in there where we used to cook. But when they come on site, you can give them any part of that hog, but you've got to give them the shoulder, the loin, and the ham. And everything else is just, you know, like icing on the cake. Because the bacon is the best damn part.
So, and I just want to walk through this a little bit, because there are a lot of people maybe listening that haven't cooked Memphis, you know, Barbecue Network type events. And when you do that whole hog, when you put that box, first of all, are you serving that over lettuce, or are you serving it over full? What are you
no,
doing?
No, you do not garnish anything in a Memphis-style box. It's all meat.
Okay. And then when it comes to saucing it, are there any specific rules about saucing that meat?
No specific rules about saucing it. That's one of the things, you know, I was going to ask you about when I got up there after reading some of the rules, just so I'd understand it. But, you know, you can glaze it right before you turn it in, and, you know, but... Usually the boxes are so full of meat you won't have any kind of sauce pooling or anything like that, but you want to put a full box in there, but it's got to be all meat, and you've got to serve those three particular categories, the loin, the ham, and the shoulder, and you can't put anything else but that, where we used to could put bacon. But now we can't put bacon in there.
Well, and you know, and we all talk about this for the KCBS side of the equation. You know, we talk money muscle, and we talk, you know, kind of cutting that sucker up, glazing her down. Do you got to kind of pretty it up a little bit to some degree? I mean,
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just like, you know, any other box. You want it to look as good as it can look. But
right.
By the same token, you know, that's one of the, like, well, the rules in IBCA, something I read said you couldn't mop the meat before you turned it in or something like that.
No, that's one of the things. And we're going to help people through this. You got to sauce your meat for IBCA. And
right.
you can do all that stuff. It just cannot puddle in the box.
Okay.
It can't puddle in the box because that's ever changing. But I'm kind of curious too, if you don't mind walking me through this process. So you turn that blind box in, so nobody comes out and sees any of your stuff, right?
Right.
And so they pick how many finalists for the final judging?
Three.
So they pick three top people. Is that right? They pick three.
Right. But your score is a combination of your blind score and your on site score.
That's what I'm asking. So you turn in a blind box, they also come and they see you on site.
Right.
You have on site judging as well to get to the final three, right?
Right. You turn your blind box in, and then you start your on site judging. You have three judges per category. So you have three hogs, three shoulders, and three rib judges. And then
right.
they can find the scores, and if you make finals, then you get four judges that come to your booth again, and you do whatever you made finals in. And there's no blind involved with finals.
So how much percentage, what's the percentage breakdown, or how much does it count, the blinded component and the non-blinded component?
I'd say
as far as the judging. 70 for blinded, 30 for on-site?
Yeah.
Is that right? And so basically, and then when they come by your pit site, and this is the part of it I'm going to tell you right now that intimidates me to some degree. I'm seeing all this AstroTurf down. I'm seeing these fences. I'm seeing this nice cutlery. Do you really got to do all that?
No, you don't really have to do all that. But at the same time, there again, there comes that wow factor into it. You know, it's a good thing, but no, you don't have to do it. It's all about the product. But, you want your site to look good and policed up, which, we've done AstroTurf before. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But, you've seen the rigs, how they look. I mean,
And you're hitting on a good point, because I think one of the things that people get too caught up with sometimes, like with your particular KCBS, is the appearance of the meat. So we get all caught up in the damn lettuce boxes, and we're that's a small percentage of your score.
Right.
It's more about what it tastes like, but we all get caught up in that minutia and forget the big picture of it, so to speak. But so if I serve these judges like in my Speedo, would that be a pro or a con?
Well, that depends on how comfortable you feel with your life. Do you think it's going to help me?
Andy's kind of eye candy. I think, is Andy calling in tonight?
Andy is on the line here.
Andy would probably help the score.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your kids to bed. The monkey porn man is on the line, Andy Fallon.
What's up, boys?
What's happening tonight?
Oh, man, I'm just kicking it, fixing to watch a little foosball. I thought I'd check you boys out and see what's going on. Sound like Hank is giving a lesson in MBN cooking tonight.
Yes,
I don't know if we're giving a lesson.
I'll make you a deal, man. Andy and I will help you out on this IBCA thing, but you're gonna have to help us out on some Memphis Barbecue Network thing.
Right,
how's
man.
That sound?
I've always told anybody, I have this personification before anger management of being an asshole. But I've never not helped anybody. I'll do anything I can for you. In some senses, I can show you one thing not to do. Do not ever during finals tell a judge to get the hell out of your booth.
Yeah.
That's bad form.
Yeah.
Or turn in potted meat.
Well, no, that's what that is. And it wasn't potted meat, it was sardines. On that Learn While You Earn program, learn what not to do.
Yeah. Well, Randy and I have been really talking about doing MBN, and I've always shied away from them just because, I guess probably because I didn't know much about it, but just listening to the last 15 minutes, I feel much more comfortable, as long as Randy doesn't wear his fucking Speedo.
I think you'd be all right. If he don't wear his Speedo.
When he wears his Speedo, if you don't know me, I'm the guy standing there shaking my head.
I'm not even going to come help him do his presentation. I'm going to start calling Andy
Cindy Lauper here.
Yeah.
Nobody really got that. But, yeah. Are you getting off, Randy?
No, but I was going to tell you just one last little word. There's a condition called penis envy. And I think she's suffering from it tonight.
I do have one question for you. You know, on your boxes, when you turn them in, can you make a meat bed of any sort, whether it's chicken, ribs, or pork, or your brisket, can you make a meat bed out of your product when it goes into the IBCA container? Or does it just have to be what they are eating to where they pull it out?
I'll let Andy answer that.
Andy?
Yeah, no, you can't. You absolutely cannot. I'll watch it. But you absolutely cannot. You know, they ask for 7 slices of brisket. They ask for 7 ribs. There's a certain way they want you to put it in the box. So everybody's relatively the same, you know, as far as the way it looks in the box. There's, you can't put anything. You get a piece of foil, and you put your 7 slices of brisket in there, you put your 7 rib bones, you put your half a chicken, and in our case, you're going to put pulled pork. And as far as the pulled pork goes, you can't put anything chopped or sliced. It has to be pulled, and, you know, you can basically fill the box up if you want to in the pork.
So it has to be a pulled product off the pork.
Right, exactly.
So
there is no chopping, no slicing, no... It has to be pulled.
Are you going to have pictures of some of the boxes for the cooks' meetings? For some of us dumbasses that's never cooked IBC?
Yeah, we're going to need some learner's permits, son.
Well, you know, I mean, and I don't know if there's really any. I mean, you'll understand. I mean, you know, I mean, the head judges explain it really well. You know, basically on your brisket, if it's too long for the box to fit it, you know, they want it with the hinge. You lay it in there, and if it's too long, you just kind of horseshoe it around.
Okay.
And whether your 7 pieces take up half the box, or take up a quarter of the box, or take up the whole box, you know, you cut them. They want them about, you know, a quarter inch thick. You know, about the size of a number 2 pencil is what they'll tell you.
Right.
You know, they want you to know what.
So with chicken and speedos, would that help me when I turn my box in?
You know, it might.
It's marking the box, dude.
especially January in hot springs, you will definitely. There'll probably be a little shrinkage factor going on anyhow.
That's right.
Y'all have a polar bear streak or something in speedo. That's a speedo race. How about that? On the race.
Oh, my God. You guys.
Hey, thanks for giving that away. Thanks for giving away our secret, Cody. God
dang.
My bad. I don't know if I can run around the track. I'm going to have to give me one of them rascals to be able to make it.
Yeah.
I will say we are within walking distance of a strip joint down there, but we'll talk about that all the year.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, that's a different story.
Hey, I will tell you this: if you go to the events page, you know, for the Southern Crunk Barbecue Festivus, right now I got a photo up there, and that is IBCA style turn-in chicken. Have chicken in the box.
Okay. Hey, well, let me ask you this: while you're there. Since I got the Southern Barbecue Festivus on the www.lulusbarbecue.com, has the website www.barbecueboner had anything done with it? Hold on. Has it been erected yet?
We're in the process of erecting the Barbecue Boner site.
We're going to get banned. Jim Berg is having a heart attack right now. The Raiders are good, but he's
going to
have a heart attack.
You know, it's funny because Andy and I, or my buddy Doug and I, cooked at a chili contest one time, and we had to put a little advertisement out in front of our chili because all the stuff we put in it, and we put a Colt 44 malt liquor, Red Bull, and Viagra in our chili.
Damn,
that's
yeah.
Go with
what?
Yeah, that Viagra was a secret ingredient. I think it made it stand out.
Yeah,
I did stand out. I can tell you right now.
Yeah. But anyway.
Randy, comedy is not your forte.
Yeah, no, man. I've heard a lot of other things.
Comedy.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of other things. Ain't my forte, too. Just
fellas, I hate to, but the national championships game's on. I got to go watch it.
All right, brother. We're about to cut off anyway here in a minute. Hey, Randy.
We'll see you
later. Thanks for having me, Hank. I appreciate you coming on.
All right, man.
Hey,
good.
Randy. Later, brother. Yeah. Where can they find that picture at that you was talking about?
If you go to a Facebook and there's there's an event section, you know, we invite people to an event, and it's the Southern Crack Barbecue Festivus event. I'll try to put it up too. I'll put it up under my personal site. And it's just basically a half a chicken and foil. And you can look on there, you'll see it's just over foil. They're big on puddling of sauces. You can't have little globs of sauces. But here's the one thing they're going to do. When you go to turn your entry in, they're going to have a whole bunch of paper towels sitting there for you. And they're going to open
it.
They're
going to look at each entry too.
Yeah, which is nice. Which is nice.
So they look at each entry that comes in. They actually open up the box and look
right,
at it.
Right. The head judge does.
Or somebody
associated with the cook will look at every box. And what they do is they'll make sure that you got your seven slices. They make sure you got your seven bones. They make sure you're not puddling anything. And if you're puddling anything or you don't have enough or you don't have it laid in there just right, you know, the way they want it laid in there, they'll send you back. And the great thing about it is you've got 10 before and 10 after. So you basically got 20 minutes to, you know, to figure out what you got to do. If you're unsure, you know, you go in early and they say, well, you know, you got to do this. Well, you got time to go change it.
Is it on the Southern Crump Barbecue Festivus or Southern Barbecue Society? Because all I'm seeing is Doug...
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I post that every year.
That's the chicken. That's the chicken.
I was gonna say, I see the Festivus. Let me come back. Let me get into the Festivus 2013. Let me see if that chicken's on there. Oh, okay. There's a little chicken action going on right there.
Yeah, you got the half chicken popping up there. But you know, the one thing I like, and just to give you a little background on the story, the first time I ever cooked nice at the IBCA event, you know, I turned in my ribs all wrong. They're facing the wrong direction. If I'd have done that at KCVS, I just lost. But what they did is said, listen, you guys go back and you guys just turn your chicken this way and come back. Because you got, unlike KCVS, you know, they're hour between turn ins, you got 10 minute overline, you know, so you got plenty of time to fix something if you do something wrong. So they're there to help you. They're not there to play gotcha, you lose.
Right. That's a huge deal right there to where. You know, they will help you out to where you're just not out a bunch of money.
Right. Well, and you know, not only
that, Tim Seals is asking a question. He wants to know, are they giving you a half chicken or are they giving you two chickens? So is it a half? He wants to know, I don't know if it's a whole chicken. I guess, Tim, what you're asking. And then you got to cut it into halves. Do you just turn in one single half? Or,
Just one single half. Yeah, one half. It has to be fully jointed. It has to have the leg and the thigh and the breast and the wing on it. So, and then you got to think about, you know, when you're buying those things, you got to think about, okay, if I'm in this 9x9 styrofoam box, I don't want to get a big turkey because the lid won't shut.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I usually try to find the smaller birds. You know, you go to Kroger, those organic ones. Are fit in there perfect. You know, they're pretty small. You can't do a Cornish game hen, but it has to be a chicken. And my recommendation is try to find the smallest, meatiest bird you can find. And what I normally do is at home the night before the competition, I will cut it in half, cut the backbone out, cut it in half, and just put it in a bag and get ready for the meat inspection.
Right.
You can do minimal prep, just like KCBS. You can do minimal prep, but you can't start brining, you can't start rubbing or injecting or anything.
I'll tell you something, and a lot of people don't know us, but a lot of the food service trucks, which we use U.S. Foods, they have some of the best chicken halves that I've ever had.
Yeah.
You know, they're a lot better than Tyson ones. I don't know what kind they are, but the bird is just a perfect size bird. I mean, it's very nice. The skin's always really nice on it. But if you got a food service truck you can get a hold of, get your chicken halves from them because they have some very, very nice chicken halves.
Yeah. They come in fresh or frozen, Cody?
They come in fresh.
Okay.
Well, one of the things, just for whatever it's worth, the product that we use down here is we'll go get an organic half chicken because they're smaller or they're organic chicken. We usually get the whole chicken, spatchcock them down, And, you know, that way you don't have to do so much work on site. Just another little advice for everybody out there, since we're kind of bringing this up. Your ribs may not, they cannot be baby backs. They have to be spares.
Have to be spare. Right.
You know, and we had one instance where...
Go ahead, Randy.
No, I said we had one instance where a fellow snuck in some baby backs and actually did good in ribs, but that's the dang judge's fault because they didn't figure it out. But they're supposed to be spares, you know, and the brisket, you're not going to cook the point. You're just going to do the flat.
And which one?
You can turn in any part of the brisket you want to, Randy.
Oh, Kenny, I thought it had to be the flat.
No, you can turn it in any part of the brisket you want to. There just has to be 7 slices.
And which one? What I was talking about with the chicken halves, talking about the food service, is because I use them, and they fit in that styrofoam box very well to where they're smaller.
Yeah.
Because I've got some from some different places, and them things are big as my damn leg. I mean, huge chicken halves.
Now,
if you know somebody with the food service, you know, they can get them for you.
Now, you can cook the chicken whole, and there's a lot of people that do out there on the circuit. They'll cook it whole and then cut it after they cook it. But to me, I would rather cut it beforehand so I can kind of know what I've got, you know, with the skin, because you know, that skin's gonna spring back and it's just gonna, you know, it's not gonna look right, you know, to me anyway. But hey, there's a lot of people out there that do stuff like that. So
I got Tim Seals wearing me out in the chat room over here. He wants to know if they had to be full spares or can they be cut down to St. Louis?
No, you can cut them to St. Louis. They just have to be spare ribs. They can't be baby backs. And that's
for
just
you,
the
Tim Seals. For everybody else that's listening, you can cut them down. For Tim Seals, they have to be a full spare length.
Let me tell you this though. There's a lot of people that do the full spares. And, you know, the last IBCA competition I cooked some of the best ribs I'd ever cooked in my life. Turned them in, and I come in second place. And I'm talking to the, you know, and the beauty of it is that after the contest, everybody's box is sitting there, first through fifth box.
Yeah,
you're hitting on the table. So you can actually go up and look, and hell, if you want a bite, you can take a bite.
What about rib tips? You put rib tips in there?
No, you can't put anything but a rib in it.
I had another question. Tim Sales can put all the rib tips in the box he wants. He wants to know, what about burnt ends? No burnt ends?
No burnt ends. All you can put in there is 7 slices of brisket.
Tim Sales, it has to be about a half inch thick.
Line them out. They need to be about a quarter to 3/8, about the width of a number 2 pencil, you know, and that way, you know, I mean, because that way, if you're looking at it, you can tell, you know, the judge can look at it and say, well, you know, just by looking at it, you know, some judges can anyway, better, you know, they'll say, hey, you know, they either like it, you know, overdone or not done enough, but you know, you got to keep in mind too that they don't pick anything up with their fingers in IBCA. They use plastic utensils.
Which you know, the whole thing about the brisket, the thickness of it keeps the playing field level.
Exactly.
Where everybody's got to have
the
same thickness. You know, whether or not it gets a little tough, and you know, you want to cut it down real thin. So it'd be a little bit more tender.
Now, you know, they're pretty lenient. I mean, you throw in, you know, 7 pieces that are a half inch thick, they're going to send you back and say, hey, you know, you need to send those down.
Which one of y'all making love to the Texas pepper jelly? Because y'all are loud. Somebody quit. That's Randy.
I'm a little noisy when I get my freak on, but that's a little personal.
Randy, y'all gonna have to wait. My woman's over there kissing on my neck. We got 15 minutes left.
Now we know who it is. Hey, one other thing, though, when we're talking about this IBCA thing that we mentioned before, make sure those chicken tips on those wings are not cut off, because that's considered marking a box. And a lot of times, if you buy, I don't know what they do on the food service, but a lot of times, for whatever reason, they clip those tips of the wings off. And if you do that, that'll count.
Yeah.
And another question we got on the chat room tonight, as far as the bone and the pork, you know, you can't turn the bone in the pork, you know.
Yeah.
Andy's done some things to his pork, but you got to leave your bone out of the pork.
Yeah.
But you want to leave any cooking
in, because
they might be very juicy.
If anybody has any further questions, feel free to Facebook us or to send me an email. My email and my phone number, my cell phone number is actually on the IBCA site. And, you know, the rules are on the IBCA site. They're pretty self-explanatory. You know, they're good, understandable rules. There are no tricks and no, hey, you might want to do this or anything. But, you know, I mean, if anybody's got any questions, feel free to call or to Facebook or to email. You know, we'll answer any questions, and even the day of the contest, you know, and that's the thing that I'm going to do, because I know there's going to be, you know, we're going to have probably 50% of new IBCA cookers there. You know, there's several seasons that have, you know, KCS, MBN, and stuff like that, but there's going to be several that have never cooked an IBCA competition before, and that's where, you know, and that's where I'm going to be there to help, and Randy's going to be there to help. So, you know, and we're not going to steer you wrong. The flavor profile is going to be basically the same. I wouldn't change anything. The way, you know, if you're cooking KCS, I would cook your flavor profile exactly the same. You just need to remember that it has to be very tender, because they have to be able to cut that piece of chicken off with that knife. They have to cut that brisket in a bite with that knife. You know, they got to be able to cut that rib off with a knife. You know, your pork, so, you know, they can fork it, you know, but it has to be... It needs to be tender.
Did you just say they can pork it, Andy?
No, I said they can pork it. I said they can pork it.
Oh, I thought you said pork it. I'm sorry. I digress.
I got the Cindy Lauper rule. I got to be nice.
Yeah, Cindy Lauper. If I could find some Cindy Lauper song, I'd play it, but, you know, I can't.
That's okay.
Well, guys,
you know,
I tell
you what.
Andy, go ahead.
No, Andy, one last question about the chat room. They want to know, is there something about brisket where you can't post-trim your brisket or something like that? I guess they're alluding to...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't recommend cutting the fat off. I mean, you can, you know, and I think that's probably what they're getting at is, you know, do you cut the fat off after it's cooked? I wouldn't recommend it. You know, there's a lot of these guys, you know, you got to think like the judges think, to me. And, you know, I've had KCS judges say, I hate brisket fat. But then I've had other ones say, I love brisket fat. So, you know, you just got to kind of figure on, you know, what kind of, you know, what you got, you know what I mean? And I really wouldn't trim it down. And there may be a rule that states that you cannot trim it down. And I'm not 100% sure, because I usually cook a pretty lean flat. And I don't do any trimming post cook. So,
one of the things I'll tell everybody, see, you know, the last IBCA event I did a lot of KCBS events, and I turned in my brisket, and I thought, man, it was good, it had good flavor, but, you know, I was so used to KCBS, it was literally, it kind of, I could barely get in the box without falling apart, and I won, you know, and it's because it's a little bit more tender. With the knives and whatnot. I'm so used to that, you know, KCS where it's not supposed to
There's
do
no
that.
Pool. There is no pool in IBCA.
There's no pool test. So keep that in mind. And then so you'd probably be better off to overcook than undercook it at KCBS. That's my advice on brisket.
And IBCA, yeah, definitely. But you know, I mean, it's gonna be an adventure, you know, for all of us. And like I said, Randy and I are gonna be there to help anybody that has any questions. We're not barbecue snobs by any means. Any of y'all know us. So.
One of the other things we did for this comp, too, just so everybody knows, most comps are pretty much, you know, a-holes about if you can't make it, you don't get your money back. You know, if it's snowing and it's really bad and somebody can't make it on account of weather, we're going to refund money. I mean, we don't need anybody to risk coming down here just because they, you know, can't get their money back. But that said, I think we're kind of hoping the weather's going to hold out for us. We will have it come rain, snow, hell, or high water. So, I mean, you come down here, we're going to cook. So.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan to me, brother.
Yep.
I know everybody else is watching this bowl game, so we got about 10 minutes left. If y'all got anything interesting in the chat room, go ahead and post up. But I'm more likely we're fixed to hold on. Tim Seale said, if it's trimmed off, it must have been bad, huh?
way, it is 7-0 Alabama right now, and they're driving.
Okay.
7-0 Alabama.
And they're driving again. They're going to, you know, the Catholics need to start, you know.
Hey, I didn't get to tell you guys last week, but I listened in because the chat room was full and y'all didn't need me last week. But hey, that John Marcus interview, that was point on. You guys did a good job with that. You asked him great questions. I thought he answered everything, you know, real honestly, and you know, and it was. I thought it was very professional, and that was one of the best. That's one of the best Lulu shows that I've heard in a long time.
Well, thank you, Andy and Randy, which Randy was a part of, and he was the main part of it because I was pretty much sick that day. As Randy said, I had what, Randy?
Mongolian crotch rot and
fish
litters.
Yeah, pretty much.
One thing, I could hear you. I could hear you breathing, Cody.
You can hear. And then it sounded like, because I mean, I was literally just tore up. I mean, just sick as a dog. But if you listen to the show and you want to listen to the John Marcus show, go to www.lulusbarbecue.com. www.lulusbarbecue.com. And it has all the archive shows. John Marcus show is on there. Just click on it. There has been a lot of people listening, which was the number one show last week. We'll see what happens this week. You never know. We might have the top two shows this week. Who knows? We'll see what happens. Don't think that's ever been done, but we'll find out.
Well, I tell you what, we've enjoyed being on with you. I tell you, my hat's off to John Marcus for the interview you did with us. And it's funny, he put a little tweet on there after he did the show about the same thing, about some tips for people, you know. And I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing some folks on there. Andy and I battled back and forth about whether we're going to do a video or not do a video. I think we settled on just turning something in because they kind of already know what we're about, you know.
Right.
And they're damn fools that they have us back. They got it coming to them.
I want to see if some of the people listened. And, you know, I think there was a lot of people that listened to the interview. I had a lot of people message me and talk about different things. And, you know, I just like to see some of the new videos coming out. I haven't seen one new video yet, but I like to see some of the new videos coming out and see if they took what John Marcus said from all the questions he answered and see if they put that in their video.
I think we're gonna work on our video this weekend, and we'll definitely we'll send it to you, and you can post it on Lulu's.
All right, it's gonna be crunkacious.
Oh, it'll be
crunkalicious, baby. Crunkalicious,
baby. Crunkalicious.
And just so you know, we've talked about this before. Andy and I are working on a project called the Southern Crunk Barbecue Circus. And we got together with our producer this week at the house and met. And we did a film at a burlesque show recently, and there was a, what should we call it, Andy?
A wardrobe malfunction.
A wardrobe malfunction. So it was captured on film, and that will be seen.
Oh, my, oh, my. I started talking about that earlier, but I didn't know how much I could talk about it, so I kind of backed off of it. But
up. It's still kind of in its infant stage, but we're growing it, you know, weekly, daily, you know. So you know, we got a lot of cool things that we want to do with it. So you know, hopefully it'll go somewhere.
I think it's a big opportunity. I really do, because Randy shared some ideas with me, and you know, I think it can be really, really big if it gets in the right hands. I really do.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I've shared with you the other night, I talked with Cody, I think we need to think a little bit outside the box on barbecue. You know, there's a lot of interest in barbecue right now. There's a lot of famous people doing barbecue. And I think sometimes we just limit ourselves, and we just need to kind of expand our horizons and you know, kind of bring it up the next level, man, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and go ahead, Andy.
No, I was going to say, and I agree totally, because – you know, I mean, you get tired of watching, you know, watching somebody prep some ribs and then cook them for 4 hours. That's like watching paint dry, you know. So we're going to try to open up some things.
Which me and Randy talked the other day about, you know, the Lulu Slow Smoking Radio show, the Southern Crunk Barbecue Circus show. And, you know, there's a lot of information out there in the barbecue world. There's a lot of different things we can do on the show. We just want to know what y'all want. You know, there's a lot of different avenues we can go. We've looked at a lot of different things and tried to get in contact with a lot of people that we've been working on some big things right now to get that taken care of. But, I mean, there's so much information out there, we don't really know what to put on and what y'all want to hear. So,
right.
You know, either send me a message on www.lulusbarbecue.com or Randy Hill's Facebook page, Andy Allen's Facebook page, or Lulu's Barbecue's Facebook page. Send it to Barbecue Superstar. We just want to know what you want, and we'll bring it. If you tell us what you want, we'll get it on the show. I promise you. If we can get John Marcus on the show, then, you know, we can get the president on if you want. Hold on 1 second. We got a caller on the line. Let me see who this is. Hold on. Let me make sure. Let me check something here. Okay. I don't know who this is, but let's see who it is. Caller 4009.
Hey, Brett. You got me pretty drunk last night. I was wondering when you were going to come fuck me in the ass again.
Whoa! Yeah. I done knocked him off a line. Hey! Hey, man, I ain't going to say what I say, but anyway. I got him off. Or Andy got him off. I knew it was coming, but the button, when I hit the button, it took about 3 seconds for it to lock it down, so I already knew what was going on. Yeah, it's one of those creepers, so I guess we can talk about the creepers on here on Blog Talk Radio. So creep what you want, you ain't getting back on the line.
Yeah,
so you're talking about
write that number down.
Yeah. Cindy Lauper Jr.
Yeah.
And a lot
of people don't think. Hey, Andy, do you know what I'm talking about with Cyndi Lauper?
No, but I kind of
got the she was one of the first people to drop the F-bomb on national television.
Yeah. I kind of figured that when you said that after I dropped the F-bomb, I figured it was something to do with that. So,
oh, that's pretty good. Let's see what chat rooms got. Chat rooms don't have nothing. We might just go ahead and close out the show. I think we'll just go ahead and close the show. Look, they called back. Are you that stupid? They're that stupid that they called back. Like, I'm going to put them through.
Anyway. You better hurry up because Alabama's already been winning 14.
Well, you want to add anything? Anybody want to add anything? We got about 2:30 left. I'm about to close her down.
Nah, I ain't got nothing.
I was just going to tell everybody I really appreciate the interest in the barbecue contest we're having down here. I look forward to meeting everyone. And like I say, we got entries from 5 states. I think that's a big deal. We're going to be very friendly to the competitors. And I just really appreciate you letting us promote that tonight, Cody. And I just hope everybody has a whole lot of fun.
I think it'll be a great contest. I look forward to it. Cooking with the Cotton Patch Cooking Crew, my buddy Hank Vaden. And really look forward to coming down there. And if y'all, anybody's got any information, you want to find out anything, just go to www.lulusbarbecue.com. It's got all the information you need about the Southern Crump Barbecue Festivus. Send me a message. I can get you in touch with anybody you want to get in touch with. If you got sauces or rubs you want reviewed, send them to me. It's on the website. I've done some this week, and I had some amazing products come through. I'll be talking about them on the Lulu's Soul Smoking Radio Show. I appreciate everybody listening tonight as I filled in on the Jim Berg Show, which is the Lulu's Barbecue Show tonight. I appreciate everybody listening.
For the first and the last time, I suspect.
Do what?
I filled in for him for the first and the last time, I suspect.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know. Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, I appreciate everybody listening tonight. Here y'all go. Here's my theme song.
You can hear me before you see me. I got King Kong in the trunk.
King
Kong, King Kong, King Kong, King Kong, King Kong, King Kong, King Kong, King Kong.
How about a little Godzilla?